In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
Today, we can't get enough. We binge watch it, supersize it, buy it, just gotta have it. We need more to fill that void than forget about it. Here's the deal though. The issue is in the heart. Listen to this part. The control is out of your hands. You worship what you do not know, and the little gods have a hold on you. However, the living water is here and waiting. Take a drink and be thirsty no more. Listen, look, lift up your eyes and see what you need. See who needs you. There's only one relationship we should seek, and it's with the one who seeks you. Drop what you have. Surrender today, tomorrow, then the next. Leave your comfort zone and make this faith your own. Because God is enough.
Well, good morning. My name's John. I'm one of the pastors here at LifePoint. We're glad that you're here with us. Here at LifePoint, we say something a whole lot. And the reason we say it over and over again is because we hope that you get it and remember it and live it out. And we say our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. And the goal of that mission, the intended outcome, is that we would become Christ-like influencers, that we would be like Jesus and we would influence the world around us to be like Jesus. But there's a little bit of a problem with that because there are things that get in the way of us fulfilling that mission. One of the things that gets in the way of fulfilling that mission is idolatry. And that's when we take something that is not God and we put it in the place of God and we treat it like God and we worship it like God. We build our lives around it like God. These are false gods. And that's why we're in the series that we're in right now. We call it gods with a little g because there are lots of imitation gods, lots of false gods, lots of substitute gods, but there's only one God Almighty with a big G. And that's the God that we worship and serve who created all of us. And that's what we're here to do is we want to learn more about that. So as we dig into this, there's a passage that keeps coming back up, and it's 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. And this verse says this, it's the last line of John's letter, his first epistle there, and he says this, he says, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." Now, why would he say that? Why would he have to tell us to guard ourselves from idols? I think part of the answer is that we have a tendency to make idols. We need to guard ourselves from idols because we have a tendency to create and worship these false gods. And so he's saying we need to guard ourselves from that. But that's not just the little carved statues made of wood or stone or something. That's not just what he's talking about. There are also idols of the heart. There are these false gods that we worship, things like comfort and pleasure and success and control. And those are the things we're exploring, those things in this series. And so I want us to ask that question, is kind of what do we consider as idols in our lives? And as we look at the word, I think what's important to remember is that an idol is a physical attempt to meet a spiritual need. We have all these spiritual needs that God's placed inside of us, and he's the one who wants to meet those needs and who should meet those needs. But we create these physical attempts to try to do it, and it always falls short when we do that. Now, why do we do that? Well, because we want to get what we want when we want it, right? We're impatient and we're short-sighted, and we kind of like the idea of us playing the role of God. If we're honest, we like to think that we're God. We like to try to fill our own needs. But if this is a spiritual need, then God supernaturally is going to meet that need for us. We can't do it ourselves. Now, I think about this image for our series. A lot of times, I think we kind of gloss over this, but I want to call out our creative and our communications team. They do such a great job with some of these images. And the image for this series that we're in right now looks like this. And did you notice it's a picture of a heart? And the heart is split in two. And it's inspired by this passage from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 through 26, where Ezekiel hears from the Lord, and the Lord says to the people of Israel, he says, I'm going to cleanse you of all your idols. And I'm going to take out your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And that's what you see here, is on the right side, there's this kind of stony, jagged part of a heart. And then on the left side, there's this fleshly, like beating, living heart. And I think what's great about this image is the line down the middle, that it's divided. Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of times that's the way our hearts are, is we have divided hearts. We say we worship and serve the one true God, but a lot of times we also set up worship in our hearts to these false gods, these idols that do not deserve our worship. So I want us to keep this divided heart imagery in mind as we go through our passage today and we think about what we're going to look at. Because here's the deal. I think one of the things that divides our heart, one of those false gods, one of those idols, is approval. We love approval. We seek approval. And we read a verse about it during our time in music, right? Remember Galatians 1:10? And Paul says this. He says, am I seeking the favor of man or the favor of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. He's saying your heart can't be divided. It can't be, well, I'm living to please men and I'm living to please God. He says, no, it's an either or, right? I'm seeking the favor of men or I'm seeking the favor of God. Which one is it? So how are we living? How are we doing? Whose favor are we seeking? And what's challenging for me is I wrestle with the idol of approval. That's something that I struggle with, man. I remember from my earliest memories, you know, I was a kid and I would want to get the approval of my parents because I got good grades on my report card. You know, I'd want to be like, Dad, look, A's, and it was a B, but A's, and you know, like I'd want approval and I would get it and I'm like, whoa, cool, Mom, Dad, thank you. I would want to do well in sports because I would get approval. Be like, good hit, son. I was like, yeah. Okay, and I kind of feel it, right? I can't tell you how many times I have injured myself trying to win the approval of girls. I've done stupid stuff and hurt myself because I'm trying to get that approval, because something in me is wanting them to say, I'm good and I've got it and oh, I like you. And like, I want that deep down, right? There was this camp I worked at in Arkansas, and over the summers, you'd be there 8 sessions of summer, your whole summer, you're at this camp. And at the end of the summer, they had this big banquet, and they would give all the counselors a plaque. And that plaque had a picture of our whole staff, and it always had this word engraved across the bottom. And it was something really inspirational. It was something like, well done, or good job, or awesome, or legendary, or whatever. But I always got that plaque, and I thought, oh, approval. I did it. They are happy with what I did. I feel like I've accomplished something, right? Now, that's okay, but what happens when we take that approval and we put it in the place of God's approval? then we're seeking approval from somewhere that we weren't intended to get it. I think God wants us to understand his approval of us in the way that he provides that. And then that approval is going to make us understand the fullness of life that he intends for us to have. There's a guy in scripture who I think really captures this idea of struggling with approval, and his name is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a guy who never got the approval of people. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was thrown in prison, he was never listened to. He preached and preached and preached, and nobody listened to him. They all hated him, nobody liked him. They called him the weeping prophet. He was sad. He's like, I just can't do anything right. Jeremiah never got the approval of people, but what's great is God speaks to Jeremiah knowing that that's exactly what he's dealing with, and he speaks to him in his word in chapter 17 of the book of Jeremiah, and that's where we're going to be today. So we're going to see what God has to say about where we should get our approval and how we should see that. And he instructs Jeremiah about that. So if you open to Jeremiah 17, we're going to read verses 5 through 10. We're going to put the verses up here on the screen, but I want to encourage you to read along with me. If you don't have a Bible, man, we want you to have a Bible, because this is God's word and we believe it is life-giving and gives us direction and purpose and is so meaningful. That if you don't have this, we want to give it to you. So we have Bibles available at our welcome desk right out here. You can go right out these doors and grab a Bible. Please don't leave here without a Bible. We want you to have that. But let's read together. Let's read Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Now, because this is God's word, and because it's so powerful, I want to pray for our time right now as we dive in. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us truth that makes us come alive, that helps us to see your purpose for our lives. Lord, I pray that we would trust in you and focus on you in this time, and that this time would be all about what you want to say to us. So I commit our time to you. Speak to us by your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so the first step that we all have to take here is that we all have to admit that we are approval addicts. We have an approval addiction, all right? The first step is admitting you have a problem, right? That's what we have to do, is we have a problem. With approval addiction, we seek it on our social media. We love getting likes. We love getting subscribers. We love all this kind. We love that kind of concept, right? But we don't like to admit that we really have a problem. We don't like to admit that. And actually, we got a video of somebody who was also in denial about their approval addiction. So check this out.
Do I need to be liked? Absolutely not. I like to be liked. I enjoy being liked. I have to be liked. But it's not like this compulsive need to be liked, like my need to be praised.
Right. So I don't need to be liked. I have to be liked, right? I mean, we deny like that. We play those kind of verbal gymnastics. We try to do that. We say, oh yeah, I don't really need to be liked, or I don't really need, but deep down we do. We have this addiction to approval. And the thing is approval in and of itself is not bad, right? It's not bad to get approval. It's not bad to have someone give you approval. It's bad when we take approval and we put it in the wrong place. Now, here's what approval can kind of sound like sometimes, all right? Sometimes approval sounds like this. It might sound like, you must be the sweetest person I know. you're so sweet, you're so wonderful, you are just awesome. And you hear that and you say, oh, I guess I am pretty sweet, right? And we take that in. It might sound like, wow, you must be doing well. Look at you. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll take that. You know, we kind of feel that a little bit. It might sound like, you sure look cute in that outfit, right? Don't we take that, and don't we kind of fish for that sometimes? We'll say like, hey, I got this new shirt. What do you think? I was like, oh, it looks awesome. Oh, well, thank you for saying that. And now I feel approved because you've given, right? That was a great idea. Yeah, it was. I thought of it. It's my idea. I feel pretty good. I'm kind of amazing like that. You know, like we soak that in. Or the last one there, no one listens to me like you do. Man, no one listens like you. You're just so awesome. I'm like, yes, I am. Tell me more. Like, this is what we want to hear, right? We love this approval. In my marriage, my wife and I, from the day we got married, I've always said the theme song for me to her is, I want you to want me. Like, I'm not going to sing it, but I want you to want me. I do. It's like, I want you to want me. I want that. Deep down, I have this need. And listen, none of this is wrong. It's not wrong for someone to say, great shirt. It's not wrong for someone to say, you really listen well. That stuff is not wrong. It's not even wrong for us to hear it. What's wrong is when we take that and that becomes so fundamental to our identity, and it becomes more fundamental than what God has to say. When we take this and we say, if I don't get this, I'm worthless. Or if I don't get this, I have no meaning. If we're relying on someone else to give us the approval that we need, then we are sorely mistaken. We're looking in the wrong place. There's a quote from a guy, there's a pastor out in Texas, his name's Matt Chandler. And he talks about the idol of approval in the same way, approval idolatry. And this is what he has to say about it. It's kind of long, so I'll read it. It says, life only has meaning, and I only have worth if I'm loved and respected by fill in the blank. What you seek if you worship approval is approval. You want affirmation. You want love. You want relationships. The price you're willing to pay for that, though, is independence. You don't want to be independent. You need somebody in your life. You don't want space at all. Your greatest nightmare is rejection. Others often feel smothered by you. You are asking them to be what's not humanly possible for them to be. Your problem emotion is cowardice. What you're going to feel and have to work with all the time is the fact that you're a coward, that you lack a spine. What that means is with this group over here, you're like, I know, I hate him. I don't know why he's like that. Then over here, you're saying, I love him. He's one of my favorite guys ever. And then you have to go to bed with yourself. You have to lie in bed at night and realize that you have no spine. You are a coward and you will never speak your mind and will never really have an opinion that matters to you because having an opinion might be too costly. It might cost you someone's approval. Again, I want to keep highlighting this. It's not a bad thing to want to be approved of. That's not a negative thing. We've been designed with this desire to be approved of, to be liked. And in fact, even the guy who's like, I don't care who likes me, is saying that because he thinks you'll think he's cool for saying it and like him. It's a crazy irony. I don't care what people say, huh? I don't. Like me, please, because that's how bold I am. That's how this works. The desire to be loved and affirmed is healthy and natural. The problem, listen to this, for the person with the approval idol, however, is that they are not ultimately satisfied with God's love for them, and they seek love and affirmation from those they deem important. People with a worship of approval will do just about anything to make people happy with them. Approval worshipers often overcommit, overpromise, and overstate in order to gain affirmation from others. They are radically insecure in their identity in Christ and fear rejection of people above a biblical fear of God or a hatred of sin. This leads to worry about what others think of them. Often those closest to someone with an approval idol feel smothered by the neediness of the idolater whose desire to be loved cannot realistically be met by a mere human being. It's pretty heavy, right? Why do we do that? It's because we want to get what we want, and we are willing to take God's job to do it. So we all want approval. Do you worship the God of approval, though? Do you worship the idol of approval? Let's take a look at what God says to Jeremiah about this again. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and 6, he says this. I think what we start to see here is that even though we all want approval, we all look for it in the wrong places. He says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. Cursed is the one who trusts in mankind. Cursed is the one who puts flesh as their strength. Cursed is the one whose heart turns away from the Lord. Again, our hearts can't be divided. If we're turning toward mankind, if we're looking for man, other people, to give us our strength, then he says we're going to wind up like this lonely bush. And that word for bush there comes from this word that means like stripped, kind of bare, all alone. You're this bush alone in the desert in a stony waste. You're not going to see, when prosperity comes, living in stony waste in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. There's desolation and there's lifelessness because we're trusting in our flesh and we're trusting in mankind. Then if we skip over verses 7 and 8, we'll come back to it, and we look at verses 9 and 10, he says this. He says another place, another wrong place that we look for approval is our heart. It says the heart is more deceitful than anything else. Our hearts are jacked up. They are. Our hearts are deceitful. Do you get that? Do you know what that means? It means your heart is lying to you, right? Your heart is lying to you. Your heart is not telling you the truth. And we hear all the time, follow your heart, listen to your heart, go where your heart leads you, blah, blah. But our heart's a liar and it's desperately sick. Who can understand? None of us can get it, right? So I started to think, who could really understand this and who better understands our hearts than people who write songs? So I looked up on Google, I looked up songs that have the word heart in the title. Tell me if this doesn't just express some of the confusion we might feel about our hearts, all right? The heart wants what it wants. Put a little love in your heart. Stop dragging my heart around. Harden my heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to my heart. Listen to her heart. My heart will go on. Your cheating heart, mama's broken heart, nearly forgot my broken heart. Break my heart, unbreak my heart. Don't go breaking my heart. How can you mend a broken heart? Give your heart a break, achy, breaky heart, right? We have a hungry heart, we have a foolish heart. We are owners of a lonely heart, right? We have no idea. We can't understand this. But what does God say? He says, who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. I'll tell you what's going on. You're looking in the wrong place. That's exactly what he's saying. We all want approval, but we're looking for it in the wrong places. So when we look for it in the wrong places and we wind up like that bare bush, here's some of the negative outcomes, what it can look like if we really do worship at that idol of approval. Check this out. Worshiping approval kind of looks like this. It could look like us becoming defensive and shifting the blame. Because if I want you to like me, then I'm going to blame somebody else so that you still like me, right? It can look like us being overly critical of the people who are in authority. Because if it was my fault, you might not like me. But if it was my boss's fault, well, then I can blame him and you still like me. Right? I need your approval. Feeling easily threatened. Well, I want you to like me, but if somebody else comes in, you might like them more than me, so that's a threat. Right? I've got to make sure that this other person doesn't pose a threat to my approval rating. Tending to command and not obey, teach and not be taught, speak and not listen. If I can tell you stuff, I can kind of gain your approval, but if I have to hear something from you, then that means I'm not doing something right, or I'm not listening, or I kind of lower my approval rating in your eyes. Getting upset when contradicted or challenged, especially in public, because it might make other people like me less. Being unwilling to forgive people who have sinned against them. Man, I want your approval, but don't cross me. Don't cross me because I know what I'm doing. I've got the approval of these people. Don't go against me. And then finally, it leads to living in discontent, struggling with covetousness. Man, I always want something from someone else. I always want them to approval. I constantly have to work to gain that approval. And so I am frustrated. I am discontent. Why? Because I'm worshiping a false god. I'm worshiping at the idol of approval, the altar of approval, and it's false. It is not the right place to look for approval. So where is the right place to look? Check out verses 7 and 8, what Jeremiah says. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Do you catch the difference there? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. I'm placing my trust in you. You are the location of my trust. It's where I'm going to take the trust I have and I'm going to put it in you. Now, a lot of times that could look like us saying, well, God, I've got all this money and I'm going to trust you to guide me and what you want me to do with that money. I'm going to take it and use it and put it wherever you want me to put it. But when we say our trust is the Lord, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, God, now I trust you even without the money. Now I trust you even if that savings account goes away and I don't have anything. God, if I don't have a bit of it, then my trust is in you. So if I'm desolate and homeless and outside and nothing is going my way, my trust is still in the Lord because he does not change. And listen to what he says. He says, when we trust like that, then we'll become like a tree planted by the water, extending roots down to a stream, the source that gives life, right? And it's not going to fear when heat comes. Its leaves are going to be green, not anxious in a year of drought. But man, we're never going to cease to bear fruit, to produce fruit. Our lives will be fruitful and meaningful and purposeful when we trust in the Lord and our trust is the Lord. And that's what Jeremiah is trying to tell us. So if we see that we all want approval and we see that we look for it in the wrong places, but the right place to look is from God, well, how do we get it? Like, okay, it's there, but how do I go about getting it? Well, there's only one thing that can get it for us, and it's called faith. And faith we see outlined in Hebrews chapter 11. Check this out. Hebrews 11 verses 1 through 6, and we skip a few in the middle there, but it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. Right? That's what we're looking for. That's what we're addicted to. That's what we're crying out for. Well, how do we get it? Through faith. Not in what I see, not in what I can understand, but in what I hope for and I trust that God provides because my trust is in him. And then you see in verses 3 and 4 and 5 there a few things about the way that faith is lived out in the lives of some of those people, the heroes of the faith of old. And then in verse 6, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's no way we can do it. If we don't have faith in him, we can't possibly please God, because the one who comes to God must believe that God is and that God's a rewarder of those who seek him. We've got to believe that I can't find this approval on my own, but if I go to God, God's going to give me the approval that I need, not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus Christ is and because of the completed work on the cross. God approves of Jesus on my behalf. Isn't that awesome? That's the gospel. It's that we are completely sinners and we are completely hopeless on our own. But praise God that there is approval of Christ Jesus. We're completely accepted in him because of who Jesus Christ is and what he completed on the cross. That's the message of the gospel. That's the good news that we share. So I pray that you're encouraged by that, that we remember that God approves of Jesus on our behalf. And so when we think about that, I think it really is going to challenge us in some of our lifestyle choices, right? Because the bottom line is this. The bottom line is that when it comes to approval, we all want it. Only God gives it, and only faith gets it. We all want it. Only God gives it, and only faith can get it for us. But this is going to challenge us. This is going to challenge some of our lifestyles and our choices. Because here's the danger. Here's what happens is I sit with people in my office and they say, man, my spouse is just not what they should be. And so they start to seek approval in the arms of another person who's not their spouse. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, I just thought that being with this other person was going to meet some need in my heart. And it was going to fulfill me somehow. It's because they're seeking approval somewhere other than God. I sit with single people often and they tell me, they say, God, I just want to find that right person. I just want to be with that person who I know God's got this person for me. But they get impatient and then they settle for someone who's not the kind of person they should be with. And then they get into relationships that are unhealthy and not good because they put themselves at the idols of approval and that altar. And they say, this is where I'm worshiping because I need this person in my life. I desperately need another person instead of desperately wanting God. I talk to people who say, I look at pornography regularly because when I do that, the image on the screen makes me feel like I have some kind of connection with a person or I have some kind of meaning or something in that is meaningful and fulfilling to me. And if I don't do it, I'm lacking something. Man, that's missing the point. What we need to cling to is God and trusting in Him. And here's what I think is great about it, is He gives us guidelines. There's this passage in Scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It's one of my favorite passages ever. And it's something that we pray over our kids every night before we put them to bed. We say, we want to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. Isn't that awesome? When we think, if I trust in the Lord, how? With all my heart, completely, undivided heart. God, I'm trusting You. Now, I like to think of it like this. I kind of have conversations with God sometimes. I like to dialogue with Him when we think about what He says here. And I say, okay, God, I really want approval from this person. And then He says, okay, but trust in Me with all your heart. I say, yeah, God, but I don't understand why it's wrong for me or how I'm going to get this. So don't lean on your own understanding. Okay, well, what am I supposed to do? I mean, I've got these people in my life and they're saying some nice things and I want their approval. It's like, in all your ways, just acknowledge Me. Look to Me. Well, what about the way that I want my life to go? I'm going to direct your paths. I'm going to make your path straight. I'm going to take care of that for you, right? See, the problem is we try to do God's job. God's job is to direct our paths. God's job is to make our paths straight. We get frustrated when we start to do God's job because we're not God. Thank God we're not God. We all want approval. We all want it. God is the only one who gives it. And only faith gets it. Let's put our faith and our trust in Him completely. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth that You speak to us. And God, I pray that You would help us to have undivided hearts. Hearts that are fully Yours, God. Help us not to compromise or toy with dangerous boundaries there, but God, to only trust in You, to only seek approval from You, and to realize that all the approval of people is short-lived, and it is fleeting, it's temporary, and it's unfulfilling. God, You fulfill us. May we trust in You with all our hearts, not lean on our own understanding, but in every way acknowledge You so You direct our paths exactly where You would have them go. We love You, Lord. We trust You. Thank You for the approval of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And it's in that name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.